All right, so we only have one injury to talk about. Listen, it's great to get together down here in Indianapolis. It's kind of the first opportunity that we have as a complete organization to come down and look at all the players. The scouts have been out beating the bushes and evaluating these guys, and so they obviously have a better understanding of them than the coaches do. So the coaches now have an opportunity to come down and watch them run around a little bit, and then most of all, and probably most important, is an opportunity to talk to them. So that's what we're here doing. Other than that, I'm going to leave it up to you guys here.
Andy, is there one part of the evaluation process that you enjoy the most or one aspect that you learn the most?
Yeah, well, I like being around the guys and seeing whether it's the weigh-ins or the, you know, bench, whatever it is that you have the time to get to and to watch, to just see how they interact amongst, you know, in the different situations amongst their teammates there for this combine. So, and then the individual interviews are pretty good too. A bit staged today. They've been well coached. So you try to work your way through that the best you can. But, you know, it's still an opportunity to talk to the kids. I had a little surgery done. Just I had a knee replacement, yeah. I'll be ready to go. I won't be starting my PUP.
Is that why you missed the Senior Bowl? Is that what that was about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Andy, you've been in situations where, as a head coach, you've had final say in personnel and also with a GM with a lot of power. What are the benefits of both, and why are you more comfortable now with a strong GM as well to work with?
Well, first of all, I've got full trust in John. Not that I didn't in the other guys. I was just put in that position. So, but with this, I have full trust in John, and I've been with him a long time. I've known him for a long time, I've been there, done that with the other part of it, and I enjoyed it for that period of time. It's great to have a change. Great to get back into the coaching part of it, which I desired with this move. To do was to actually get back in and coach offensive football.
Andy, it looks like another deep draft for wide receivers, kind of like last year. Is that just one of those things, or is there something colleges maybe are doing now to turn out better wide receivers, more consistent?
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about that. From a throwing standpoint in the National Football League, where you end up throwing the ball quite a bit, I think the college game has really helped. It's helped. Because they're throwing the football more, and these guys are having more opportunity to run the routes that we run and go against these different coverages that are a little bit more sophisticated now at the college level and have to make adjustments against those coverages. So I think from a quarterback standpoint, tight ends, wide receiver standpoint, it's a beautiful thing for that.
Speaking of targets in general, what does having two top-flight receiving targets do on offense? Green Bay, you kind of had that.
Yeah, two. Yeah.
I mean, that could work.
Yeah, two top-flight tight ends or receivers. That saying you can't have enough of those guys. You surely like to be fully loaded from that standpoint, from a tight end standpoint. We were fortunate this past year to have three guys that we felt very comfortable with, and we were able to get into some personnel groups where we utilized all three.
Just matchup problems, having two guys that can catch and create separation and be matchup problems for
you. Yeah, well, you can't double everybody. So the more of those guys that you have that can be a threat on the defense, the better. You add the speed factor into it. Every receiver is different, so you take their redeeming quality and try to exploit it. If speed's one of those things, you can stretch the field a little bit further.
Andy, Todd Bowles was just up here talking about the year he had with you and how much he learned from you as far as determination in the face of adversity. What did you see from Todd that year you had with him, and how do you think he'll do as a head coach?
Yeah, I was a big fan of Todd Bowles. I wish we would have had him sooner on staff. I tried to get him one other time and wasn't able to do it, but fortunate to have him that one year that we had him. I think Todd is a smart guy on and off the field. So he's got a sharp mind and loves football. I think he's great with people. He's honest. He's going to shoot you straight. And from a player standpoint, that's all you really want. Have a good teacher and somebody that will tell you the truth.
It was a tough situation for him that year. How do you think he handled
it? I thought he did great. I mean, we had some good people on that staff, and I thought he, him being one of them, and I thought they all handled that well. It was a bit of a mess, but I thought they handled it well.
Can you briefly address the decision to release Avery and A.J. Jenkins?
Yeah, well, listen, I appreciate both those guys, Donnie and A.J. Two different situations. One guy's a little bit younger than the other guy, and Donnie's had a lot of good years in the National Football League. Hopefully he continues to have good years. I'm pulling for him. A.J.'s just learning, and so he'll continue to do that and hopefully hooks on with somebody and has that opportunity.
Have you spoken to Eric Berry recently?
I have, yes.
How's it going? Just when was it?
It was a couple days ago, yeah. Yeah, I texted with him, and he's doing well. He's definitely heading in the right direction as far as the actual medical part of it goes. His spirit's strong. I mean, he's a stud everywhere, every way you look at it. I mean, anybody that's got to fight that, they got a special place in my heart for sure.
How about Alex Smith?
Have I talked to Alex? Yes. He's doing well. Yep. He relaxing with family. Spleen's good. So he's getting himself ready for coming year.
Andy, with regard to the GM-coach relationship, that dynamic, whether when they work, when they don't work, regardless of who has the authority, actual authority, what is the key factor that makes it work? And is there a reason why the Green Bay guys seem to get it right?
Yeah, sure. Well, they have great communication. So they check their egos at the door, and they come in and they work their tails off, and they're honest with each other, which is important.
How much of that enables you to just, when you're just being the head coach, to not have that weighing on you, to have that comfort?
Yeah, well, I think that's big. You're asking me from the Philadelphia perspective. It's great to have Ed in a position there where Chip has a trust in him. I mean, and Ed's on the rise, boy. He's a good one, and I think it was a great choice by Chip.
Why is that on the rise? What did you like about him?
Just sharp guy, good evaluator. Can tell you a good player from a bad player. He stays one step ahead of it and can look into the future on things. I think he's going to do a great job there.
Yeah. Andy, in your career, what's been your philosophy or strategy in terms of the franchise tag and when to use it?
It's different. Every year it's different. Depends on the player, situation. Yeah. I mean, it's every one of them is different the way you go through the process on them.
How's DJ and DeVito?
DJ and DeVito, yeah, they're doing well. The neat thing to watch is they work out together and challenge each other. They're rehabbing together, and so they push each other. And, heck, both of them might be in the best shape of their lives right now. So.
Are they going to be ready by
there's a chance, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. I'll get you that. I have to check with Rick.
What's your assessment also on Jeff Allen? How's recovery?
Yeah, Jeff is he's doing well. I think he'll be fine as we go, too. He's working hard.
Andy, does Dave Tobe need to become a position coach to get a better shot at a head coach's job like John Harbaugh?
Yeah, I'd hope not. Not that he wouldn't be a great one. But I think that's a underappreciated position. I'm glad Ozzie didn't look at it that way. I mean, I don't think Ozzie would have cared if John had been a position coach or not. He was right at that crossroad. There's a little crossroads there. If you're gonna switch to a position coach and you're way up there on the pay scale as a special teams coach, and you don't want to step back, there's a decision. If you're going to go that route, I mean, that's the route that we went with John. But I would hope that's not the case with Dave. I think Dave's ready to go and would do a great job.
Are you surprised that
in your years with the Eagles, you generally skip these combine podium sessions because you weren't obligated? You're still not obligated. Why do them now?
Well, because I don't know really. I mean, there's like five or six of you guys and like two Kansas City guys here. They treat me a lot nicer than you guys did. Yeah, except Adam.
Are you surprised that Harp's success hasn't kind of opened the door for more special teams guys to get opportunities?
Yeah, I think, listen, I think they look at the guys. I think you just got to, you know, you just got to take that next step and go ahead and hire one and see how it works. I mean, it's, I think in our case with Dave, I think he'd go in and do a heck of a job.
Andy, back to A.J. Jenkins for a second. You said earlier you thought he still had a chance to go on and do some good things. He's still young. Why give up on him at this point then?
Yeah, I mean, there's some things he needs to work on, and he'll do that. We kind of put through what we needed to put through and worked our way through what we needed to. But I wish him the best as he goes forward.
Yeah. From what you know about Ed Manowitz, I mean, even though he's, you know, pretty young, he's only like 30 years old. I mean, is he the kind of guy who can, like, stand up to Chip, you know, if there's a disagreement and say, you know, this is the kind of thing that...
Yeah, I don't think, this isn't warfare. So, I mean, it's you work together, and Chip's great at that, and Ed's great at that. So I don't think that'll be a problem. They'll communicate. I mean, it's not going to be a boxing match.
Dan, Coach, you've called the offensive plays for every year that you've been a head coach, right?
No, I mean, I turned it over for a number of years, yeah.
Mike gave up play calling in Green Bay. Why has it been important to you to have that role? And do you lose anything from a global perspective of the game when you are the play caller as a head coach?
I think it's probably everybody will give you a different answer on that. I think Mike feels that way now. I mean, just from things I've read, I haven't talked to him about it, but whatever he has decided to do will be the right thing. Pretty sharp guy, heck of a head football coach. So he's a great play caller too. And but he obviously has confidence in Clemens to do that, and EB to do that. So I think it'll work out. I mean, he knows better than I do the situation.
Right. I just meant from your personal experience. Like, I know you love play calling, right?
I did. I had a guy that I felt I had 100% trust in, so I had no problem doing that, and it worked. So I was good with that.
You got to factor a lot of things. You guys assigned Alex this big extension. So, you know, you try to take the best guy on the board to get there. But what happens if you just assign a guy to an extension at a position you like, and there's a guy on the board, like in the first round, that you like at that same position? Think the quarterback in particular.
Yeah, I think the best you can, you stick to that. Your players know it. You know, your people around you know it. If it's a quarterback, it's a quarterback. If it's a running back, it's a running back. You've got to try to stay true to that the best you can.
How do you, deal with just the immediacy? Like, you want the guy to help you now. Like, you can get impatient with it.
Yeah, I got a lot of patience. I mean, you do what you do.
You feel like you exercise that in your career, like you kind of practice?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you try to do, yeah. Yeah. I mean, in Philadelphia, we drafted two corners and basically sat them for a bit until the old guys got older, and they stepped in and did a nice job for us. Yeah.
What was it about Terrell Pryor? What was it you liked about him this cycle?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, he's a young guy that's has great athletic skill and ability. He's from Pennsylvania. I mean, how are we going to lose there? I mean, come on. So it's we thought it'd be an opportunity for him. To see how I'd fit in the things that we're doing.
Andy, would you be in favor of the video replay being expanded to include general calls like pass interference and more coaches coming around? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that. I think the league will do what's right there, and I'll just leave it at that. I'm not up here to stir anything up or that. So. All right, guys. Thank you.